evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Pfeiffer coming to you here on the Republic Broadcasting Network from my little perch here in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. You can handle the truth. That's why you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, whether you're listening on the Internet at rbnlive.com or on shortwave at 5.050 or on the RBN listen line or even at 6.890 on single sideband. All sorts of ways you can listen live to what you're hearing now and on all the great broadcasts that appear on RBN. And of course, you can also access the archives absolutely free. That means you, if for whatever strange reason you want to listen to this broadcast over and over again, you can do it anywhere in the world if you can access a computer at any time. So that's a pretty good deal, folks, and you get that all free from RBN. A lot of people don't offer these archives for free. Well, yes, you can handle the truth, folks, and that's why I want us to discuss the truth tonight. I want us to discuss the subject of 911, and I'm particularly interested in the input from callers tonight on this topic. I want you to call in tonight. I want just the average grassroots RBN listeners to call tonight. I don't want the experts to call. I don't want the researchers to call. I'm just talking about the average listener out there, someone who's not particularly involved in the 911 truth movement as it's come to be known. I'm just talking about the people who are following what the researchers are researching on this issue of 911. So I'm going to give out the 800 number right now, our call-in number, and I'm going to introduce the topic in more detail after we come back from the break. Of course, the call-in line here is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. My clock isn't working very well, ladies and gentlemen, so bear with me if I get a little bit confused tonight when I don't know if the breaks are coming up. I don't know if the break is coming up, folks. We have a break at 5 minutes after the hour. In any case, we are going to be talking about 911 tonight, and we are going to be specifically talking about the controversy that is raging in many circles right now in the 911 truth movement as to whether or not it is polite or proper to dare to mention the question of whether or not Israel was involved in 911, whether Israel orchestrated 911 or whether Israel had foreknowledge of 911. But we are going to discuss that tonight, and I want your opinions on that because it's a very important issue. It affects, of course, our entire future. It affects everything that's happening in our world today. It affects whether or not we will have another 911 here in this country. And who's responsible for it? And that's a very big question. There's a lot of people who do not think you should say that Israel was involved in 911, even if you believe it. There are people who think that Israel was involved, but don't want to discuss it because, well, it might offend Jewish people, or it might cause people to be called anti-Semitic, or it might cause people to say, well, that's just an anti-Semitic canard, and therefore degrade or downgrade or somehow refute in some way the questions about 911. That's what I want you to be thinking about tonight, folks. When we come back from the break, I have some further comments, but I'm really encouraging you to call here because I want your input. I want a broad-ranging discussion here tonight of that subject so that the researchers who are listening in can hear what you have to say. This is Michael Collins Pfeiffer coming to you from Washington, right here.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Welcome back. Thanks to Barbara, my right hand, my left foot, and my right foot, who is also my producer. I think I may have the right time now. Let's see if I can get my clocks working correctly here, folks. Okay, I introduced the subject which I want to discuss tonight with everybody. I want your input and your opinions on this. This question of whether or not it's proper to discuss this issue of what I believe is very likely Israeli involvement, very, very strong likelihood of Israeli involvement in 9-1-1, not just knowing about it in advance, but actually having helped orchestrate it. Now, I had an interesting little discussion over the break with Barbara, the producer, and she mentioned something to me that I said to her. I said, well, Barbara, I said, wait till you hear what I have to say after the break, and that's what I'm about to say now. I was here in Washington, D.C. on 9-1-1. Remember that day very well. Beautiful day. I came out of my apartment, was walking to the American Free Press office, and I heard on a car radio that there had been an attack on the World Trade Center, or that there had been a plane crashed into the World Trade Center, and they were concerned that it might be a terrorist attack. Then, of course, the second plane hit, and then by the time I'd gotten to the American Free Press office, the Pentagon had been hit. So it was pretty apparent by that time that somebody was up to no good. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. In any case, my reaction was like that of every American, to want to reach out and touch someone. So I called my brother's home in Pennsylvania, and my sister-in-law answered the phone. And the first thing I said to my sister-in-law was, well, they did it. Now, what I meant, ladies and gentlemen, when I said they did it, what I meant was that this terrorist attack happened on the United States because of the U.S. support for Israel. I was accepting the idea that this was a Muslim or Arab terrorist attack. And I was saying that because of the long-standing policy of the U.S. to favor Israel over the Arab and the Muslim worlds, that this was an inevitable thing. I had been saying for 25 years that this was eventually going to happen. Well, in any case, I said to my sister-in-law, well, they did it. And she started laughing. And she said, oh, do you think the Jews did this? She was being somewhat sarcastic. Not sarcastic, per se, but chiding me for my reputation for having a heavy hand toward God's chosen people. But when my sister-in-law said that to me, I stopped for a moment and I said, no, I didn't mean that. I said, but now that you mention it, I think they did. Now, this was early on 911. Well, I started getting on the computer and doing some searching here and there, and I came across a website. I've mentioned this on the show before. I came across a website called Stratfor.com, run by a Mr. Friedman, a Jewish American who used to be a CIA analyst. And on his website, early on 911, he said, and I'm roughly paraphrasing him, he said the big winner today, unintentionally or not, was Israel. In other words, now the United States was going to have to mop up the Arab world because the Arabs, the Muslims, what have you, they attacked the United States. Now, of course, since that time, there's just been this flood, this tidal wave, this tsunami of information that's been dug out by hordes of researchers. My colleague Christopher Bolin at American Free Press, Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani at Wing TV. The list goes on and on. Professor Fetzer has become involved, James Fetzer. Many of you are familiar with the names. I don't need to go into all these names. You're familiar with a lot of the details. There have been many, many books. Webster Griffin Tarpley has written a book on the subject. As I say, the list goes on and on and on. But there is now this growing controversy among many of the researchers as to what can be said or whether it's proper to talk about Israel and 911. So that's my 2 cents, or I'd like to say my 50 cents. And now we're going to go to the callers. Let's go to Jeff from Vermont.
How you doing, Mr. Piper?
How you doing tonight, Jeff?
Good. All I can say is just follow the money trail. I mean, look who made money off the World Trade Center, and everybody knows who did that. It was Silverstein. And another thing is, I mean, why is it all right for us to, you know, ridicule Iraqians or then Syrians and Iranians, Afghanistan people? It seems like they want to put those at a subclass human. It's all right to pick on those guys all the time. But if you say the word, you know, Israelites, it's not good to say that. You can't put them in the same category as anybody else because you'll be called an anti-Semitic. And I think everybody should just know the truth. I think that's what it all should come down to. It doesn't matter what race or what, you know, creed they are. I mean, what happened on September 11th is beyond any of that. You know,
this is the thing. You've just made the point there that this is what it's come down to, that on this issue of 911, there are people who say, this is the amazing thing about it, there's, you know, okay, all 3,000 people died on September 11th. There were many Jews who died in the World Trade Center, and I presume at the Pentagon as well. And there are those who say, well, we can't talk about Israeli involvement because it might offend some of the families of the victims. Now, I find that absolutely extraordinary because if I were a family member of a victim, I would want to know who was responsible, whether I was Jewish, whether I was Christian. I wouldn't care one way or the other. I would want to know if Israel did it, and yet, as I say, there are those who are saying this. Now, you say follow the money. That's absolutely correct, because it's not necessarily even the money. It's the question of who benefits, and, you know, we know that the Arabs and the Muslims did not benefit from 9-1-1.
That's an absolute certainty.
Yeah, that's an absolute fact. So I guess you're echoing what I'm saying. It's a really crazy thing to suggest that you shouldn't be able to discuss that. Now, we have a question as to what that website was I mentioned. It's stratfor.com. It's STRATFOR. Not Stratford, Stratfor. I don't know if that particular story that I mentioned is still up there in the archives. I think it's a pay website now, but in any case, Jeff, I guess we're in agreement here. So
I just got one more thing.
Oh, nice to have somebody agreeing with.
I just got one more thing to say.
Yeah,
and I have friends that were in Iraq, just got back from Iraq, and I have friends that are there right now. There's one thing in the air there, is that nobody over there likes, you know, Israel or likes the Jewish people. I mean, obviously, they took over Palestine, but whatever the case might be, they think they're a shore force there, and they're occupying a land of Palestine instead of, you know, if you go to a, you know, an old globe or anything, like in the 50s and the 60s, it'll say Palestine instead of Israel, and which is, you know, and part of the, you know, Arabian Peninsula there, Saudi Arabia and that whole area. And they just don't think it's fair that Israel came and took the land away from the Palestine. That's all it's about.
That's the root of the whole problem. And, you know, it's been this policy of the United States that, you know, as I say, even if you buy, this is what's interesting, on 9-1-1 and the days that followed, the one word that you never heard mentioned, excuse me, you never heard the word Israel mentioned. It was like, they attacked us because they don't like our democracy. They don't like McDonald's. They don't like IKEA. They don't like, you know, they don't. No one ever mentioned that it had anything to do with U.S., you know, assuming that the Arabs did it, quote unquote, the Arabs did it. I even heard here in the Washington, D.C. area on 9-1-1, I heard a gentleman, a very well-spoken, moderately toned, moderately spoken gentleman called in, and they, you know, were discussing the reaction to 9-1-1. And this gentleman called a radio show, and he just said that he said, I think this attack, sad as it is, it was inevitable because of our policies. And the host of the program said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I just cannot accept that. I'm going to have to ask you to leave the air." I mean, this is the tone that was set. You know, you were not allowed to discuss the subject of Israel. So, you know, as I always say, I'm going to keep on discussing it. You know why I'm going to keep on discussing it? Because even if I suddenly one day decided to stop discussing it, I would still have the axe hanging over my head for having ever discussed it in the first place.
You already branded yourself.
Yes, exactly. So even if I suddenly became a lunatic in the style of Jerry Falwell and suddenly adopted his perverse philosophy, they still would never buy it. Jeff, I thank you for
your
call. We have a break coming up, and we're going to go to some other callers. So let's bomb IKEA. Or McDonald's. Good Lord. Too Western. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. And no, I'm not threatening to bomb IKEA or McDonald's.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
This is Michael Collins Piper being controversial here tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I've asked people to call in with their attitudes and opinions toward what I perceive to be a growing controversy in the 911 truth movement, the question of whether or not it's proper to discuss the question of possible Israeli involvement in 911. There are some people who say, well, yes, we believe that Israel was involved in 911, but we can't talk about it. We shouldn't talk about it. It might offend people. Well, that's what some people say. I want to know what you think about that. Let's go to Country Boy from Indiana.
Of course, I think that it should be brought in. Anytime that you want to circumscribe a discussion, then you're saying you don't want to get to the facts.
You know, Country Boy, you've gotten right to the core of the whole thing, and that's exactly what it comes down to. You know, it's funny. It's funny. I had this same experience, you know, in writing my book on the Kennedy assassination, in which I alleged Mossad involvement alongside the CIA and the mob. And, you know, Somebody once said to me, they said, well, yes, I believe the Mossad was involved in the Kennedy assassination, but whenever I talk about it, I just say that the CIA was involved because, as this person said to me, everybody knows that the Mossad controls the CIA, so therefore people will know when I say CIA, I really mean Mossad. Now, an intelligent person said that to me, country boy.
Well,
now,
hey.
You know, I mean, it seems like when you come up to that door labeled Israel, people will not knock on that. They won't even knock on the door. They don't want to open it. You know,
I want to thank you for being on the air last night, Memorial Day. I want to bring up the subject that a couple of days ago they had a country music awards on television. Now, I was just going back and forth with the remote, and I saw 3 or 4 flag/patriot numbers on that country music awards, which is amazing, something coming out of California.
Okay.
They even had Purple Heart veterans, you know, with wheelchairs wheeled on stage as they were playing the music. And, you know, when I saw that, I say something is not right in this. And I'm bringing this up because, you know, yesterday was Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I just go back in my memory, and, you know, you can go out in the country or wherever, and you'll see single-wide trailers, humble hovels, but they'll be flying that American flag. You know, it's almost like it's a pathology. That how is it that those with the least material possessions are the one who fight and die, and conversely, those with the most material possessions are the ones farthest from the risk and the danger? I mean, this is a psychological or a societal phenomenon.
You know, country boy, you are absolutely right about that. That is a it's very, very sad and so very, very true.
Yes, it's the exact truth. And Bush gave a speech at the United States Military Academy last week, or at its commencement, and he echoed the same statements he did after 9/11. Things like this: "We will not, you know, we will not fail, we will not falter, we will fight." Well, you know, anybody but an imbecile looks at that and says, "Who's we? It's not Bush, it's not his daughters, it's not people in Congress, it's not the CEOs of corporations, you know." But I'm telling you, I'm going by houses, I see that American flag, and it's like the people are under mind control or operant conditioning. That if you say something about the flag or you say something about a cause that is wrapped in the flag, these people can become emotional, if not violent.
Absolutely. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. No, it's a sad story. A colleague of mine at American Free Press, Steve Lombardo, he's a military veteran himself, been active in the Patriot movement now for a few years. On his truck, he has an upside-down American flag, of course, the symbol of the country in distress. And he was stopped on the highway by someone who didn't know anything about that, but who said, "I'm a veteran. I resent the way you've turned our flag upside down, blah, blah, blah." He challenged him to a fight on a major thoroughfare outside Washington, D.C. And you know, it's that same mentality, you know, and this is the funny thing about it. Those of us who've always considered ourselves patriots, now they're the ones, now we're being told that we're unpatriotic.
Yes, and you know what? After seeing that stuff on the Country Music Awards, I'm afraid that they are conditioning these people, us, our country, for the next time something happens, they're going to go off the diving board on, you know, and if you're not behind it or you speak against it, you're going to get it. Because
I agree with you 100%. You know,
That country music, it's the working man, it's the lower socioeconomic, but I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Country boy, I appreciate your call. You always kick in something of great consequence, and you certainly did here tonight. I appreciate it. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We have quite a few callers coming up, and I'm bound to determine to get them all in tonight. Stay tuned. Michael Collins, Piper.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have quite a few callers, and I'm going to bring them up. We're talking about this question of whether or not it's appropriate to mention Israeli involvement in 911. Whether or not that theory is correct or not, there are some people who say that you are not to mention that because some people might find it offensive. Okay, let's go to Charles from Houston. I'd like Charles' input on this.
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing?
I was going to say, this apparently seems to be the fact that Arabs were flying the planes means the Arabs did it. But as the fact that hypnotism is a very real thing, you know. They could have been hypnotized. I've seen hypnotism. My dad was hypnotized, so doctors use it now.
And, well, you know, Charles, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of possible explanations. I'll tell you one other thing, too. I mean, I don't want to get into the forensics of it and debate what did or didn't happen because, you know, we could spend hours on that. But I will say this much. We don't know for a fact that the people who were said to be the hijackers were really on those planes. We know that some of those people who were alleged to be the hijackers appear to have disappeared off the face of the planet. Now, they could have been other people could have taken their identities. So we don't even really know who those people were who were on those planes using those identities, number one. They could have been anybody and not necessarily Arabs. Number two, it appears, based upon the research of quite a few people, that several of those alleged hijackers are still alive and never had anything to do with 911, but yet their identities were apparently used by people who were involved in 911. So I guess, so I agree with you, Charles, but my question to you is, do you think that it is proper or improper to discuss the Israeli connection to 911? What's your feeling about that?
Well, you want the truth, obviously you should, but since some people don't care about the truth, they're just trying to brainwash us. They don't want you to know the truth. I explain it. That's what's going on.
Well, and no, it's not even necessarily that. Part of it is part of the problem is the fact that I think that there are some people who are very sincere, but they want to only present a part of the truth because they're afraid of the entirety of the truth.
Well, part of it is just a brainwash into thinking the Arabs did it until the Arabs fought. We've got to hate Arabs and fight Arabs. You know?
Well, that's
what they're trying to convince us of. Every time you talk about it, they say, on the news, they say, well, all these guys are from Saudi Arabia. And so Saudi Arabia's our enemy, too. I mean, it's like a blanket statement.
Exactly. You know, I noticed that in a news story the other day. I mean, it's a constant refrain, you know. It's just, I mean, you know, what if the guys had all been raised in England? What if they'd all been Arabs from England? Would we have said, oh, my goodness, British culture contributed to the dissatisfaction of these people, and therefore that's why they attacked us? It wouldn't have happened, so... Your point is well taken, Charles. Anyway, I thank you for your call. Introduced a good point there. Let's go to Dylan from Texas.
Good evening.
How you doing, Dylan?
I'm doing real good. Yes, it is most appropriate to discuss Israeli involvement in 9/11. They're a rogue terrorist state funded by the Central Bank of the World.
I guarantee you upset a lot of people by what you just said.
Sure did. And this is coming from the words of an Israelite minister. The New Testament, the word Christian only comes up in the King James Bible three times. The more appropriate word is Israelite. And I'm not going into a Bible lesson here. I'm just mentioning a few things because, see, like you mentioned, the common term, God's chosen people. Well, you know, in the Old and New Testaments, I'll just refer to the New Testament here, God's chosen people, well, in the second chapter of the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, that's what Christians claim to be under the New Covenant, the New Testament, that is, and Matthew 2, verse 6, it talks of the governor that shall rule his people Israel, and the governor is the Messiah.
Okay, well, Dylan, I don't want to cut you off here, but I am cutting you off because we're kind of getting a little off topic here because, you know, we don't want to get into a theological discussion about whether or not the state of Israel is or isn't Israel,
okay,
via the Bible or
right,
any other interpretation.
Right, that's right. But,
yeah, you see, and the thing is, it's controversial enough to try to talk to people about Israel being involved in 911 or having foreknowledge of 911 in some way and not doing anything about it.
Well, I don't have to talk about the Bible then.
Right, but see, but the problem is then when you introduce that theological question, you're going to turn everybody off. That's the problem
here. Well, the basic thing, though, is that so many people just consider the quote-unquote Jews to be God's chosen people. And all they need to do is read the Bible they claim to believe in to disprove themselves.
Right. But Dylan, but you know, here's the thing, Dylan. There's a lot of the people who are saying that you shouldn't talk about Israeli involvement. They're not necessarily concerned that they might be they're offending God's chosen people. They're just afraid of offending, period. It has nothing to do with whether or not they're focused on this question of God's chosen people. So Dylan, let me, I appreciate your comment,
Dylan. Yeah,
how are
you? You're the floor.
Hello? I think we lost Dylan there. Dylan, if we didn't mean to lose you there, Dylan, but
that's
we did.
That's all right.
There you go.
And I appreciate your program.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dylan. Okay, let's go to Keith from Rhode Island. Keith, are you there?
Mr. Piper, I got to compliment you, sir. You have more patience than I will ever be able to muster. I mean, the patience you have with these callers, you ask them a simple question, they can't answer it, and I would just lose my temper if I were the host of the show. I would lose my temper with these callers.
You know how I've gained my patience?
I'd like to know, yes.
I go to the People's Drugstore here on Capitol Hill and stand in the line. It takes about 25 minutes to buy a newspaper sometimes.
I see. Good practice. Now, I remember on the morning of 9-1-1 watching the towers burning out of control on TV, and a couple of thoughts came to mind. First of all, I said to myself that this is what we get for our unconditional support of Israel. It's coming back to bite us in the rear end.
Right.
Now, I was also afraid that now we're going to have to fight Israel's wars in the Middle East. That was my second prediction.
Okay.
And my third one was, There's going to be a cottage industry of conspiracy theorists were going to emerge from this tragedy. So all three of my predictions proved correct.
Oh, you're right.
But, you know, to answer your question, which no other caller today seems capable of doing, yes, it's perfectly acceptable to question Israel's involvement in the 9-1-1 attacks. It's absolutely. I look at it from the standpoint that we got hit because of our unconditional support for the Jewish state. And this was Muslim revenge for our support of the Israel's genocidal policies toward the Palestinians. Now, I know a lot of other people have different takes on the different interpretations of what happened, but I see this as basically not divine punishment, but sort of like karma. You know, what goes around comes around.
Well, that's true enough. That's true enough.
So this is
what I said at the outset. Even if Israel had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with orchestrating 9-1-1,
yes,
or otherwise sitting back and allowing it to happen, the fact is you cannot discuss 9-1-1 without discussing Israel, precisely because of the point that you just made, that if indeed the Arabs did it, they did it because of U.S. support for Israel. So it's an inescapable little detail
it's a major part of the equation that you just cannot have a serious discussion about 9-1-1 without discussing America's Middle Eastern policy.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of like, this is a very bad analogy, but it's like doing some simple arithmetic and saying 3 plus blank equals 5. But not being allowed to mention the obvious that there is only one solution to that, 2. 3 plus 2 equals 5, although there may be some mathematicians who may quibble with my statement. But you get my point that it's just a glaring reality that you can't ignore, but people do want to ignore it. So that's
just
the way it goes.
And just think of the people who have promoted this war in Iraq, for example. People with names like David Frum, William Crystal, John Podhoretz. I mean, doesn't anyone see some kind of a pattern emerging here?
Well, the stock answer to that is, I have this friend I always refer to as the credulous lad. Whenever I point out that stark reality, he always responds saying Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, and of course I say, well, yes, they were the stooges carrying out the agenda of people behind the scenes. But again, what do facts matter when it's more fun to play games with semantics and ignore reality? So,
well said. But in closing, very well said, sir. But just remember, in about a week and a half before the 9-1-1 attacks, the UN held an international conference in South Africa on racism, and Colin Powell was sent by Bush to attend that meeting. And once the UN representatives started complaining about Zionism, Colin Powell was sent back home. Remember that?
All of a sudden, he wasn't allowed to be there. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That speaks volumes. Everyone's forgotten that incident because of what happened a week and a half later.
Exactly. You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Keith, I appreciate your calls always.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Gio from New York. Gio, what's up?
Hi. Hi, Michael. How are you?
How you doing tonight?
Good. Listen, I hear you saying that the terrorist attack in the United States, you blame it on Israel. My question is, whom do you blame on the terrorist attacks in China? There are more terrorist attacks, Muslim terrorist attacks in China, that ever happened in Europe or in the United States. Whom do you blame for this terrorist
attack?
Well,
I tell you what. First of all, First of all, let me say this. I don't know anything about those Muslim attacks in China, but we're not talking about the Muslim attacks in China. We do know. Let me continue here.
Okay.
We do know that Muslims do commit acts of terrorism. We also do know that Israel has a rich history of terrorism. It was founded on terrorism. Some of the major Jewish holidays, like Purim, celebrate the mass murder of 75,000 Persians. But I don't want to get into that. I'm not here to talk about the Jewish religion, nor am I here to talk about the Muslim religion. And really, my point here tonight is not to blame Israel for 9/11, but my question is, and it's a very specific question, is it proper or improper to discuss the possibility of Israeli involvement in 9/11, not terrorist attacks in China?
Listen, it's proper to ask the question the same as you ask toward China. The question, if Israel is responsible to the terrorist attacks in China, in India, in Pakistan, in Egypt,
in Kashmir, in Saudi Arabia...
In all over the world, in UK, in Spain, if it's allowed to ask if they are connected to one case in the United States, why not to ask about China?
Oh, well, I have no objection. No, don't get me wrong. I have no objection to raising that question because, as I've stated here in the show on one or more occasions, I'm aware of the fact that Italian intelligence blame the Israelis for financing Red Brigade terrorist activity in Italy to destabilize the government of Italy to make Israel appear comparatively more stable. So no. But again, I'm not limiting it to just, you know, what I'm trying to focus on is the specifics of the 9/11 attack.
I understand that you find some people that blame Israel for something. And I don't say that you have no right to raise it, but I say that if you raise the issue of the connection to what happened in the United States by the terrorists, I think it's very reasonable in the same way to ask about terrorism in China, in Pakistan, in India.
If
the answer is that you think that the attacks in China, by the way, I can connect the attacks in China to Israel too, if you want.
Well, I tell you what, I'd be interested to hear that, but you know the problem is we do have a couple more callers.
Okay,
we're running. But listen, Gio, listen, I'm not. What I'm saying to you is that I have no doubt that you're probably right. I've over the years I've seen evidence of Israel instigating terrorism all over the world, and not just in the Middle East. So I don't disagree with your basic point, but I just wanted to focus on this specific issue of discussing it in the context of 9/11, because the 9/11 attacks are what the American people focus on, and you know if you start introducing these other questions, then it sometimes confuses them. So I appreciate your call, and your point is well taken.
Okay,
let's go to Clayton in Missouri. Clayton,
hey,
are you there?
Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, when it comes to the 9/11 truth movement, their motto is, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind's made up.
You're wicked.
All these guys got their preconceived little notions about 9/11 and how it relates to their view of the New World Order, and you know, some of them will say that Queenie over in England's running the show, and others will say it's the United Nations, and others will say it's the Pope or that little band of guys he's got. What do they call those guys? The Jesuits.
The Jesuits.
Yeah,
the evil Jesuits. I think the Jesuits did it, yeah.
Right. But see, the thing is, Mike, this is it. We have to make the facts. People like me and you who know the facts of 9/11, we have to make them known. Widely known. We have to let the American people know the facts of 9/11. only then can we get out of the predicament in which we find ourselves in the Middle East, in which we're about to get in deeper, maybe plunge us into World War III. This is very dangerous business. And, I mean, we are dealing with a dangerous enemy, the Zionist Jews. They have watchdogs like the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center that come after people like us to destroy us or kill us. I mean, this is warfare. And, I mean, we have to stop these people because they have, as you well know, they run the city that you're in. They run New York City, and they run Hollywood, California. They have taken over this country and are using it for their own agenda, which is a new world order with them as the masters.
Well, I hear that music coming up. Stay over the break. I would appreciate it if you would. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here on Republic Broadcasting Network. We're wrapping up the hour. Clayton, your comments. Are you still there, Clayton?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I want to run by. There's a letter to the editor in the latest issue of The Nation magazine from a Jewish American writer by the name of Amy Pett. in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and she talks about how there's been an effort to ban a production called My Name is Rachel Corrie. It was a girl that was run over by an Israeli bulldozer, an American-made Israeli bulldozer. She was over there protesting on behalf of the Palestinians, and she writes to The Nation magazine congratulating them and for their coverage of this controversy, and she says, and I think her words are very profound, she says, as one of the many American Jews who oppose the Israeli occupation and support the right of both Palestinians and Jews to live in safety, I know about the power of the organized Jewish community and how it treats those who disagree with Israeli government policies. It is very important for Jews who support a just peace to make it clear that AIPAC, the ADL, and other mainstream Jewish organizations do not speak for us on the Middle East. So Ms. Pett is echoing in many respects precisely what you said, Clayton. And I want to thank you for your call. I want to try to squeeze in the last two callers here. Thanks, Clayton. Dan from Minnesota. Dan, we're running out of time, but let's hear what you have to say.
Oh, well, good evening, Michael. How are you doing this evening?
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, doing very well. Just a couple quick comments. I hope you guys over there at American Free Press put together a book over Israeli involvement on 911. I think there's probably enough information. I've bought at least a couple copies of all your other books and sent giving them out so I could get people trying to think, change their thought process.
Well, I'll let you in a little secret, Dan. I am working on something along those lines and have been for some time. It's just a matter of getting it done.
You bet. Well, I certainly appreciate that because I definitely know at least one of my buddies. I'm going to give that to him, make him read it.
Okay.
He's a Bushy Republican. I know Mark Weber over at IHR.org. He says the most brainwashed people are Jews or Bush Republicans. You know, I can't think that he'd do anything wrong because he's claims to be a Christian.
Bush is a wonderful, wonderful Republican. Dan, listen, I want to thank you for your call and try to bring up Kevin real quick here.
Okay.
Kevin?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What do you have to say?
Yes, but I'll say, however, I agree with you. It's right to talk about this, but you choose your words according to who your target audience is. And I think if you use the word Zionist instead of Jew or Israeli, you narrow the scope down, and Joe Sixpack out there will listen about a Zionist because he ain't got a clue what a Zionist is, and most Zionists in the beginning weren't Jews anyway.
Well, the problem with that, Kevin, is that if you talk about Zionism, then people generally don't know what you're talking about. But if you talk about the State of Israel and you point out that Israel has a vested interest in this subject, you reach a bigger audience. But your point, your basic point, Kevin, is well taken. I'm glad we were able to get you up here before this hour closes out, which it's doing right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your very interesting calls tonight. All of them contributed to the discussion, and I hope those people out there who are afraid to discuss the Israeli question or who don't want to touch the Israeli question might take some wisdom from the callers we've heard here tonight. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to the Republic Broadcasting Network for making this hour possible. I'll see you tomorrow night right here on rbnlive.com and on shortwave too, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper signing off.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.